through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Well, 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 Jake and Curtis, look what we have here from the 425. I wasn't a fan, but Stacy showed me the light. Now baked beans on a hot dog is the go-to meal for everyone on the space station. Okay, so you're sign Brian. You're making fun of me.
No.
It was not actually supporting me. You were making fun of me. Thank you so much for that. It's good. It's a good meal. It's so easy to make. It takes 10 seconds. Just try it.
I mean, they're
before
doing
you pan
it up at the space station,
okay,
clearly.
That's enough. That's enough.
If it's good enough for our boys up in the sky,
all right,
it's good enough for
all
us
right
down here.
Thank
on
Stacy was reading that text to us during the break, like she was about to get us. Like, oh, look,
oh,
another person that agrees with me, and then fell and then walked right into the joke. So, thank you 425 for that text. That was fantastic. But Curtis and I will raise you baked beans on a hot dog. Gross with chili dogs.
It's the same concept.
A much more culturally acceptable dog.
The and exact same concept.
It's not.
It is.
Is it the exact same concept?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it better? Yeah.
I don't know.
Wildly
that
better.
Yes.
It's a different experience. Is cake better than a burger?
Exactly.
Two
it's a
very
better,
different experiences.
It's a better experience.
Chili and baked beans are much more closer than cake and burgers.
I don't know. It depends on how you experience life and how complex your palate is. So maybe it isn't for some people, like me.
Childlike palate around here.
Okay, I'm going to continue now. When listening to Gerald Everett, we were reminded about something we've been saying all off season long. Now, that is particularly about Shane Waldron. We already talked about Gerald Everett's comments on Russell Wilson. That was earlier last hour. Now, let's get to what he said about Shane Waldron, because this was piquing my interest. So before I get to it, before I say anything else, I want you to hear what Gerald Everett had to say. So first, he was asked how much of a factor was Shane Waldron and you coming to the Seahawks, cut 12. Here's what he said.
Well, when Shane first went to Seattle, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the idea was always there. It lingered in my head. But also, you know, you have to understand it's a business. And well, Shane has definitely been pivotal in my career and definitely been a mentor and a coach. And, you know, he's definitely just shown me the ropes. And of course, you know, we've had that tight knit relationship since I've got in and still remains, obviously. And yes, he was a factor in my decision coming to Seattle. But also, you know, Seattle having a great organization and a winning culture and great players like Russ and DK and, you know, Bobby Wagner and a bunch of other guys. But just to pinpoint one reason would have to be, if I had to pick one, it would be Shane for sure.
Now, that wasn't the only time that he endorsed Waldron. He said that Shane Waldron, who was his tight ends coach in his first year, later became the passing game coordinator with the Rams. He said that this guy was like the second head to the two-headed monster, essentially, that was the Rams offense. He said that he worked right there side by side with Sean McVay. Cut number 13, he called Waldron a mastermind.
Well, they're getting a mastermind, you know, similar to McVay. You know, I think McVay and Shane put their heads together and you had the magic that we were able to whip up in Los Angeles. But having Shane in Seattle now, you know, it's definitely, we're able to see really what he can do isolated away from the group and just, you know, give him a new set of pieces and just see how he uses them. But, you know, the fans and the 12 have to see, you know, just how it all plays out.
I think it's really exciting. And this is goes along with a lot of things that I heard initially when it came about, learning about Shane Waldron and learning it from league sources and people within that own staff with the Rams, how dynamic Shane Waldron really is and how much of a focal point he was on that offensive staff. And you can have different titles and it really doesn't necessarily paint the full picture as to who are the shot callers when it comes to the power dynamics of an offensive staff or a defensive staff and who is putting together the game plans and who's coming up with the creative dynamic ideas and who's setting the tone for the offensive staff. And Shane Waldron was Sean McVay's right-hand guy, was the guy that McVay leaned on to come up with game plans and to come up with strategy and ideas as to how they were going to move forward. And so when you talk about what he's able to do, he hasn't called plays in the NFL. That's the one knock on Shane Waldron. That's the one concern that you have, is that experience, it matters. And when you don't have it, you're always going to be concerned if this person is truly ready for the moment. And I believe that Shane Waldron is, with his background and with his knowledge and everything that he's gone through in his coaching career. But I believe that when you look at Waldron and what he's able to bring to the table, it's a way to utilize your personnel and to strengthen your offense and use every aspect of the field and to utilize each player in a unique and different way. Now, I'll give you an example. You know, the Seahawks ran certain plays that the Rams did. Okay. The difference is when I watch on film, the Seahawks only ran these particular plays out of only one personnel group, or they only had one particular receiver run that route.
Now, just to make it clear, so they would only run a certain play when they used 12 personnel instead of using it on 11 or using it with more creative or an empty backfield or something.
Exactly. And, you know, you'd have a play. Let's say there's this particular play that's dedicated to the tight end. Okay. Will Dissly. He's our guy that's going to catch this. He's going to run this route and he's going to catch this ball. Well, after you run it a time or two, you give the defense a tendency and they know what to expect or what to game plan for. The Rams would take that same play, Stacey, and they would run it in a variety of different formations. They would run it with a variety of different players, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett. They'd all run the same route and the same concept, and they would be able to get to it multiple times in a given season.
So even if you knew what play was coming, if you're a defender and you're looking at them and you're saying, I know that they're going to go into the flat with something, you don't know who's going to get it. And even then, you aren't guaranteed that because they might have run it when they've had two tight ends on the field previously, and all of a sudden you're thinking that's out of the picture because they have no tight ends. But oops, they ran the same play. They just did it with like a running back.
Yeah, they did it with a running back. They did it at 11 personnel. Instead of Tyler Higbee, they did this on film 2 weeks ago. They do it with Robert Woods. So it puts you on your heels as a defense, and you can never really truly get a beat on what they're doing. And that's something that I'm excited about with Shane Waldron bringing here into Seattle. And that, I hope, was an easy way to kind of explain some of the uniqueness and the difference that the creativity that I'm hoping Shane Waldron will bring with this group. But you talk about Gerald Everett and his excitement and calling Waldron a mastermind. Look, everybody's going to talk positively about their coach, and especially when it's year one in a new organization, and Shane Waldron is a brand new offensive coordinator. The optimism, it's going to be at its most. But I believe it's much more than just talk, just based off of the system and how different it's going to be versus what's happened here in Seattle in the past in the way that they use their passing game, the way they utilize their personnel.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. I mean, I'll let you do
so
it
much.
This once, but only
great
this
friend.
Once.
The Kansas City kind of under the duration, the tenure of Andy Reid, and certainly LA, but more particularly in their Super Bowl run, were incredibly creative, incredibly diverse with not just passing concepts, but with the guys that they went through. And even when they used, like, I think I read an article, gosh, it might have been Danny Kelly forever ago, but I don't know for sure. But it was looking at the Rams would use 11 personnel more than like any other team in the league. And even then you weren't quite sure what they were going to do because they just did so much. And not only that, but they did it well because they had really explosive players, and like Todd Gurley was at his best. And obviously you have all these other guys. Are they on one extreme of creativity and the Seahawks are on the other, or are the Seahawks much more in line with like kind of what you're going to see from other teams? If they're going to lean into the pass, though, they just needed to be more diverse, if that makes sense.
No, this is a great question. Okay. This is a fantastic question because the first 8 weeks of the season, what they did was, I believe it was not the most creative thing that I saw, but it was they did utilize their personnel well. They did utilize pre-snap formations well.
Well, and they surprised, right?
They did. They came out and they surprised because they did something different that they hadn't done before. Once teams recognized the style of play, once they started to adjust to the Seattle Seahawks offense, there weren't enough answers. There weren't enough ways to combat what was being done, and that just shows you the limit of their offense and what they were truly able to get to because they didn't have a full background. Brian Schottenheimer didn't have a full background of running that style of offense. It's just not really who he was or what he – does he want to be that? Yeah, I believe he wants to be that. Was he trying to sell NFL teams that he was that kind of guy? I think so, and that's why he was a strong head coaching candidate with like 6 weeks left into the season, if everybody remembers that, right? But at some point, they ran out of gas. And I think with Shane Waldron and with some of these other, you know, Andy Reid that you pointed to, they know their system so well that they know how to get the answers. They know how to make the adjustments, the simple things. And for Pete Carroll, one of the things, and it kind of sent shockwaves through everybody, or it was kind of like, oh man, not again. Let's not regress again and go back to, you know, 2018 version where we're just going to try to be the number one running offense and run down your throat, is Pete Carroll saying, look, we need to run the ball better. And that is a legitimate adjustment that did not happen properly in the second half of the season when it came to playing the Rams in particular. And I think that those are ways that Shane Waldron isn't going to run into those same issues and is going to give Russell Wilson the opportunity, I believe, to run the show and to own that and to get them into the proper plays at all times. And that was something that they got away from more and more and more as the second half of the season went on. And so I think that that part of it is exciting to me. And when you talk about getting DK Metcalf, I mean, DK Metcalf, you know what his goals are? I mean, he wants to be
Jerry Rice.
He wants to be better Jerry Rice. He wants to be Rice. Calvin Johnson. He wants to be better than Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, don't forget. He wants to get over. He was offended by someone saying you are baby Calvin Johnson.
Right. So how do you allow DK Metcalf to be that guy? You know, it's finding unique and creative ways to get him the ball. Tyler Lockett, how do you allow him to continue to be as effective as he has been over the last three seasons? And how do you take your offense that was so good on first and second down and so abysmal on third down? How do you improve that? Mm-hmm. And can you imagine if they get better on third down this year on top of what they were already doing on first and second down? That becomes scary. That becomes exciting. And that becomes really difficult to stop. And that's really what Shane Waldron is here to do.
Now, one more, less of a question, more of a concern. Again, I don't know what goes on in Pete Carroll's mind. He understands more about any of this than I'll ever pretend to understand. From someone watching on the outside, it has always seemed that one of Pete Carroll's, I don't want to say core principles. I don't know that it's one of his core principles, but this idea of don't make it too complicated on defense, certainly. Do what you do. And this is what Richard Sherman would say about it when he talked about what the defense would do. He'd be like, nothing we did was overly complicated. They just executed it perfectly to a T, practiced it to a T. And they were also Hall of Fame caliber players that could do those things better than anyone else. I do wonder how creative Seattle's offense could be if the way that Pete Carroll approaches defense is by saying, don't try to outsmart the room, just outwork the room, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do think it makes sense. Now, can you expand on that more? What exactly
I guess what I'm worried is
that,
like, I don't know. I don't know if there's room in Pete Carroll's philosophy for how to win as a football team for an offense that looks like what Andy Reid would do in Kansas City, for an offense that would diversify as much as we saw in 2018 with the Rams when Shane Waldron was there.
But I think that the nice part about it, and this is why the marriage makes sense, is that who was the person that you talked about when you mentioned how good they were in 2018?
Sean McVay.
It was Sean McVay.
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley, right? Gurley. So Todd Gurley, running back, right? Running the ball. So it all starts there in that offense and with that Shanahan coaching tree. Mm-hmm. It is about how effective you can be in the running game and
I'm
how
cool
you can utilize
it. I'm cool if
it's
a ton of screens.
And so
I'm fine with that.
That's where it starts. And I think that that's where Shane Waldron and Pete Carroll first initially were able to get on the same page and look and go, hey, we value running the football. We value that, and we think it's such an important aspect to offensive football and how to make our offense that much more dynamic. And that's why it was important to get Chris Carson back, to get a back that you know can be a difference maker and can be physical and can make plays and can catch the ball in the backfield and still be, you know, dynamic and talented. It allows your offense to be rooted in the ground game, but allows you to be explosive and versatile and find unique ways to get your playmakers the ball on all three levels of the field. And that has been a missing piece to this Seahawks offense. They have been a run, deep pass style of offense. And it has worked well at times, but mm-hmm. it's also had its flaws and its fallacies when teams try to take that aspect of the passing game away because you don't have a sophisticated, you don't have a well-balanced short to intermediate pass game. And that's what I believe Shane Waldron is going to be able to fix and make this offense truly versatile and make easy adjustments because of that. And I'm excited to see Russell Wilson operate in an offense like that because there's been criticism of his ability to throw
literally
on
like
time
a 10-yard pass.
And in rhythm and, you know, short to intermediate. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you guys got to be kidding me. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he hasn't really been asked to do that at the same level as everybody else. Now, does he have an incredible talent to throw the ball deep down the field? Yes, and you should always want to highlight that aspect. But I do think that there's another element of Russ's game that just really hasn't been tapped into yet, and I'm excited to see how Waldron's going to bring that out.
And that, friends, is why Jake has been pointing to Shane Waldron as the most important move the Seahawks have made. Not just hire, just move. Free agency, draft, otherwise, the Seahawks have made this offseason, and why we think the Seahawks are pinning their hopes on Waldron's ability to upgrade this offense. It is 1:15. That means it's time for NFL headlines. Oh, here we go. I'll give you and Curtis some space for this. The NFL may start relaxing their jersey number rules for defensive backs, linebackers, and running backs.
Let's go.
Yeah.
There we go. And it begins.
You're kidding me. You don't care.
No.
You don't care about potentially Bobby Wagner at this stage. He's not going to change his number. People have bought a bunch of jerseys. It's branding, all of that.
Okay.
But you're telling me it wouldn't look dope if Bobby Wagner was in a single digit in the middle of the field.
I don't like it.
You're telling me that Jamal Adams starting to he's starting to creep down the line of scrimmage. He's about to blitz.
He wore number 7 at LSU.
Yeah, he did. And you're telling me that's not going to look dope with him coming down the edge?
No, I'm going to be confused.
That's going to be awesome. Carlos Dunlap
in
a number 9 or something like that, a single digit.
Man.
He's not going to change it. He likes 43.
That's going to be awesome. Okay. Well, that was before he knew that single digits was available. I mean, he might change his mind.
The laws of science say, and this is science, I'm quoting, research has been done into this.
Of course.
The most intimidating players on any college football field are the defensive players wearing single-digit jerseys.
Yes. It's a scientific fact.
You put that on an NFL field, watch out.
Stacey, you want to know why?
I thought you guys were against single digits is that just skinny frame guys?
On smaller players.
You can't have small guys wearing number 1.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Like Tua Tagovailoa wearing number 1. Gross. That doesn't look right. It doesn't look
good
at him.
Put Nate on your back or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that is much more appropriate.
More round number.
Tua is like a number
13?
He's like a no. He's not. That was his number before, but he's more like a 7.
Oh, yeah. God. You need some width like to it.
Yeah, he does. He does need to round it out. Ooh, 509, Jordan Brooks. Jordan Brooks would look sweet in a 9. He would look good in maybe even a 1 even.
Absolutely.
I just want everyone to know you don't realize you're having a conversation about fashion and tricking the eye and tricking those optics, but you are. So the sooner you learn to embrace it, the sooner we can begin to all appreciate it. That's all I'm saying. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford underwent minor thumb surgery. Wow. Minor thumb surgery.
Thumb surgery?
I got it. On his throwing hand last month. This doesn't really concern me at all. Matthew Stafford has gone through a ton of injuries. He could go out there without a thumb and I think still be better than Jared Goff was in that offense. I mean, technically a thumbless Jared Goff still beat the Seahawks. Sorry if that wound is too fresh. I didn't need to put salt on it, but
Stacey,
I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you guys. I'm leaning into the villain role now. It's the baked beans on hot dogs, and now it's going to be thumbless quarterbacks.
Yeah, thanks, Stacey, for that one.
It's my beat.
Yeah, minor thumb surgery isn't going to bother me or make me think the Rams made a poor decision in trading for Matthew Stafford. It just goes to show, though, how injury-ridden Matthew Stafford has been. And also props to him. He has missed time, but it's been significant injuries. It's a tough dude who's played through a lot. And if he can have better protection than what he had in Detroit, which I'm assuming what will happen for him with the Rams and Sean McVay, I'm going to be very interested to see what he can truly be. This is going to be the opportunity for McVay and for Matthew Stafford to show the rest of the league that, hey, I am one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and I was in a horrible situation. So for all the Stafford haters out there, you know, this is going to be the time to either say, I told you so, one way or the other. I mean, there's lots of people, and including myself, that I believe he's extremely talented, and I think he's a better player than what people give him credit for. And you have guys like Curtis Rogers over here who say he is a clone of Jay Cutler. He is a nicer Jay Cutler.
He is. Jay Cutler with better PR. Look at the numbers. No. They are the exact same quarterback. Same wins
Jay Cutler
number.
Had way more weapons. Well, wait a minute.
No, he didn't. I stopped myself and I took it back.
Jay Cutler had Brandon Marshall.
Just give me a minute.
Matthew Stafford
had
Calvin Johnson.
Just give me 1 minute. I've got it in me somewhere.
They are the same quarterback.
Matthew Stafford has a significantly better arm strength.
I don't know. Cutler had a rocket.
They both had plus arm strength.
They are the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. That is what they are. Look at their amount of postseason
success. I don't want to believe this. This is going to be one of those weird things that's like a weird fact that doesn't make sense because it just doesn't play out.
But
right?
That's why I say it's going to be, Curtis. I told you so moment. Ugh. One way or the other. There is no meat in the middle. This will be, look, Stafford talent versus Stafford overrated. That's really where it's at. That's what this has come to.
I need to read you two texts from the text line, you guys. One, Jake, you said you don't like it when smaller players wear single digits, the implication being that in order to wear a single-digit jersey number, you must be a bigger player or more kind of built out. Someone said
digits.
From the 425, DJ Fluker should wear number 3. How do you feel about an offensive lineman in single-digit
numbers? Doesn't work.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't think the NFL would allow that to ever happen.
Someone from the 253 says, you know, he or she is convinced, I went from 20 to 2 my senior year, messed up my recruiting. You know what? I could buy that.
Yeah, I could easily see that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure that was the only reason why you didn't recruit it. It was the number.
That's definitely what it was.
509 says Clayton must love this new rule.
Oh, I can't wait for it. The Falcons will serve as the home team for the NFL's first international game in 2021. They are going to play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. Go Spurs. And so that's the story.
Yeah, that's it. It's just the Falcons.
International games are coming back.
But that's the story. International games are coming back. But
I mean, that's positive, right? When it has this whole conversation
Spurs
of COVID
news.
And for the NFL, there's plans that they are going to have, you know, there's going to be some sort of spring practice training, getting together at the facility. That's the plan, at least. There's going to be, with all indications that the plan is, obviously, given the restrictions in all states, that they're planning for 100% capacity in all stadiums, which is just wild to think about at this point in time. And they're planning on international games. So that to me is a really, really positive step.
Also, for anyone wondering whether that means the Seahawks are going there, the Seahawks are not one of the Falcons' home opponents. So the possibilities of them hosting, including their NFC South rivals, are either the Lions, the Pats, the Jets, the Eagles, or the Washington football team. So Seahawks not on that list, just as a heads up. All right, we're recapping, getting back to the Mariners' opening night win. An unbelievable win, looking at exactly how they did it. And Jake and Curtis saying, you know what? Pin that win on the Mariners, not the Giants' bullpen breaking down. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
I completely forgot to remind all of you listeners that today is the day. Today is the day Jake Heaps, Jacob Tyler Heaps.
You got it.
Goes through the American Ninja Warrior course in a matter of hours. Jake?
Yeah.
Is your body ready? Are you spiritually ready? Are you mentally and emotionally ready?
When you just said that,
yep.
All the nerves kicked in.
Woo!
So, So I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm incredibly nervous.
Have you been stretching? I don't know how else to prepare for this.
Yeah. I've been stretching. I've been.
Have a big breakfast?
Yeah, I had a massive breakfast, so I'm ready to go. I probably not going to eat for the rest of the day, but I'm excited. You know, in all seriousness, you know, this is something that I think is incredibly fun and just challenging, something different. And you know, got the call a little under 2 months, and was just like, hey,
been training?
I haven't been training, but I'll give this a shot. And I'm really excited to just test it out. It's going to be super fun. But there was a moment. So yesterday I was doing, you know, pre-production stuff. So like they have you go in and when they do like introductions before the ninja walks out on the show, they do like the hype stuff or whatever. And, you know, they got the camera spinning around. And I realized I was completely out of my element, and I had no business being there.
What do you mean?
Everyone there had a costume. Everyone there had props that they brought in.
You didn't have a prop?
They didn't have, like, it wasn't something that that Ninja Warrior just had laying around. Hey, if you want to take that up there with you. There was a girl that was like 5'7". She's just, you know, in shape, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, here's your turn to go up in front of the camera. And she's like, hold on just a second. She goes into her bag and grabs out an axe. Like, I don't know what this axe is, a part of her persona, but the axe is her thing. Like, there's something about
standard
it.
Standard axe.
Right. Yeah. There was a guy that was in, like, his own superhero costume with a cape and everything.
And then it's just Jake in a Nike
hoodie. And they're you know, doing handstands and putting their feet up in the air and walking around and doing one-arm holds on different things. And the producer, you know, it's my turn. He's like, so do you got any cool tricks that you want to do? No, just... tell me what you want me to do, and let's get out of here. So, you know, hey, it's going to be fun. I'm in a completely different world of athlete that I've never experienced, so it's going to be fun.
Someone 360 says, Jake, no matter how you do on the course, I'm so impressed you are doing American Ninja, and I'll be proud of you for representing for Western Washington. Just so you guys know, that's the only nice text I will ever read you, because Curtis and I are going to troll all day.
That's what I'm expecting.
The amount of gifts being made when Jake's episode airs.
Oh, it's going to be a workshop. I'm going to feel like a hacker, like just constantly breaking up different clips and slow-mo and then fast motion, adding music over them.
Yeah, we got to like get in touch.
We're the worst with friends
the
I know.
Producers to be like, "Hey, you got any B-roll footage of Jake
we
could, you know, have our way with?"
I could get you in touch with them, but I never will because why would I sign up for that?
Oh.
Well, the text line is being far more kind and supportive than we are, and
thank
it's
you.
Only because
thank you
we
out
care.
There for caring and being supportive rather than these two.
It. We're trying
rather
to keep,
than these two jackals.
Jake, if I've learned anything, particularly from the 2013 Seattle Seahawks, it's that you perform best when you have some grit and a chip on your shoulder. That's what Curtis and I are trying to do. For
exactly.
You. We're just trying to make you feel like a fifth round pick that everyone else overlooked instead of someone who on the text line, everyone's like, Jake, it's going to be so awesome to see you there representing Western Washington.
We're so excited
for
you.
We're so excited. We love you. Oh my God, this is going to be so fun to have listened to your journey and then see you do blah, 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 blah. No. We're trying to make you feel like you can't do it so that you prove us wrong.
Are they going to cake you up in stage makeup before going out onto the course?
I doubt it. I mean, I would be very surprised that they put, you know, makeup on the ninjas, quote unquote, before they run out there. I mean, you're going to, you know, unless you're planning on not hitting the water at all, right? I guess that's the attitude I should have.
Well, I mean, were you planning on hitting the water? Because that's not the mindset you want to head into this
now,
with.
Do you have a chance to change your costume before you do it? Because I kind of think you should just do it like you just showed up from work. Like jeans. Like, I really think
how
you should do it.
How impressive would
like
it be if he completes the course in jeans? That'd be probably the craziest thing that show's ever seen.
Look, I'm just saying your dad energy has skyrocketed in the last, like, I mean, certainly, like, it's like Jackson, you know, we didn't know Jackson was already born when we met you, but then Bodie, it gets even higher.
Yeah.
Now with River, it gets even higher. Now you're telling us that your people come into the house and you immediately walk them through the house and tell them about all your home improvement that you've done, which is concerning Brooke. Like, I think that this should be your costume. This should be your persona. You are Dad Energy Jake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess I missed out on that, but
do the whole course with a lawnmower.
That would be
impressive.
Pretty hard. That would be pretty heavy. Okay. That would probably weigh me down.
Leaf blower would be easier.
Leaf blower.
That'd be a good one. Jake, I'm going to read you some more support just to get you hyped and jacked for this. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
First of all, Fred, Says Birch Bay is behind you, Jake. So Birch Bay behind Jake.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you.
The 425 says, Jake, dig deep for that, all caps. Spartan power.
Yes. Someone Skyline, else, let's go.
Someone else said, best to Jake. We love you from the 360.
Love you right back. This is fantastic. Thank you.
Someone said, Jake should wear a Houston shirt and bring a mini garbage can and a mini baseball bat. Just an idea. The 425 says, I applaud Jake for doing it. I've always thought about it, and I'm calling myself the couch potato ninja. Someone else said, Jake is going to kill it. Hashtag Team Sherbet.
Yes. That's really what I should have
just
done.
Just to get you hyped up. Look, the text line's behind you. We're trying to offset it. We got to give you the positive stuff, too.
Well, but yeah, because for a second there, I thought everybody was rooting for my demise. But, you know, I appreciate all the support. It's awesome. You guys have been so cool through the entire process talking through this. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm hoping I can make it further than John Ryan for sure.
That's all you have to do.
I am hoping that I can make it. You know, we talked to Ryan Roland-Smith. Mm-hmm. I am hoping I can make it past him so I can one-up him.
Yes.
So we'll see how this goes. I mean, the thing is that's crazy about this is that you don't get a chance to run the course at all. Like, there's no pre-trial. There's no off-course.
My
you guys were asking
racing.
Me about that. You only do it one time. That's what makes it insane, that people that actually complete the course, like, they do it on one shot, one kill. Like, they just do it on the first one. So, I mean, the level of difficulty is extremely high. It makes you really appreciate what they're doing.
Well, Jake, before you go, we just got to get you hyped up here.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Give me some Thunderstruck.
There you go, Jake. You're going to kill this course. Get out.
Turn that
there.
Baby up. Come on.
Show them who Jake Heaps is.
Yes.
Yep. Do you feel it?
I do.
Matter of hours, Jake. You're going to crush it. Or at least get further than two other people we know. Those are the two goals. The two goals. Let's
get midway
go.
Through the second part of the stage of the course. Let's
halfway
go.
Through. Halfway through.
Halfway through.
Halfway through. Halfway through.
I
all right,
it.
What I need to know coming up next. Here's how it works. Send your questions, any questions you have, to 710-710. Do it right now. Your questions right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Get your questions in right now. Text them to 710-710, as many as you want. We got a couple here. We could use some more, though, if I like the ones I see. So send them in. Again, 710-710. Again, more good luck, Jake. Represent UP, someone from the from University Place texting
yes.
me, by the way.
There are people asking where it was going to be held at. It's going to be in the Tacoma Dome. So the cool thing is due to COVID, they aren't doing the regionals anymore. They're doing it in one location, at least the first initial wave.
Someone wanted to know that.
So there's been, you know, all the ninjas that have ever done the course or that are trying out, they're here in Washington, and they've been doing it all week long. So, you know, there's been over 400 contestants that have been doing the course in the T-Dome. So if you've been seeing those tents and everything going on and activity around the Tacoma Dome, that's what's been going on. It's American Ninja Warrior.
All right, first question on here, after someone says, hey, Jake, break a leg. Bigfoot.
I'll try not to break
please,
a leg. But,
don't literally, but I think
yeah, thanks for the sentiment.
The
I
sentiment
that.
Is there. Bigfoot, Java, or Dutch Bros? I've never had Dutch Bros. They said Starbucks isn't an answer. Totally fair.
Dutch Bros.
Totally fair. What's Dutch Bros? There's a Bigfoot Java stand. Near my parents' house that I've been through.
Dutch
a
Bros
times.
Is a chain that I believe originated in Oregon. It's pretty big on the West Coast. There's three locations in Washington. There's one in Federal Way, yeah. one in Renton, and I think one in like Puyallup. Mm. It is so good.
I guess Renton would be
it
the
is
closest.
So good.
Yeah.
They've got like a wild amount of flavors too.
That's Bigfoot Java though. They also have
no,
a
No, it's not though.
Okay, okay. Anyways, continuing.
And if you download their app, well, actually, I don't want to advertise too much for them unless they want to cut that check.
The 425 says, hey, I have an interview for a firefighter position today. Wish me luck. Non-question from Rob. Good luck, Rob. You're going to nail this one. Is it too early to call him Firefighter Rob? I'm feeling so good
well,
about this interview.
Well, we don't want to jinx it.
I'm knocking on wood, but I'm feeling pretty
but
confident
yes,
about
we
it.
We are fired up for you, Rob. We want to hear how it went. And, you know, when you're a firefighter, don't forget about us.
Yeah, when you make it big, you're big and famous. All right. Someone else said, Gosh, I just lost it. But they said, basically, do you think Jamal Adams is going to be extended before the draft?
No, I don't think he'll be extended before the draft. Usually with the bigger contracts, it happens in the summer. It happens before training camp. That's typically how they've liked to handle their timeline. They have a very specific timeline as they go about things. And, you know, with Russell Wilson, it was a little bit different of a situation. He wanted his answer before. Didn't want to worry about his contract up until training camp. Bobby Wagner, his deal got done before training camp. And I believe the same thing will occur with Jamal Adams and the Seahawks. I do not see him being traded. I see him here in Seattle for a long time.
Someone said, did Brian the Astro not show up last night?
Whoa.
Wow. Again, I cannot stress enough. My boyfriend's real.
Look.
You guys just haven't met him.
We believe you that he's real,
Stacey.
Thank you.
It's just
listeners.
They don't believe me.
Yeah, they need some more proof.
What, you don't think I could date an astronaut if I wanted to?
It's not that.
No.
Just we haven't met him yet.
He's just busy all the time. I keep telling you guys that. He doesn't go to this school. He goes to another school.
I'm sure.
He's in Canada.
Let's see. How stupid is our blackout restrictions? They said for MLB, but for any leagues, blackout restrictions are tough. Thankfully, Mariners game's always on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yeah,
that's right.
Free of charge. No matter what.
Tune in. Lucky for you. Let's see. Jake, can you talk about your results to anyone after you finish? And they want to say, like, your wife or me or Curtis. You can definitely tell Brooke.
Well,
Brooke's
going to be watching. Yes,
right.
The boys will be there watching.
Which means Curtis and I need to go to Brooke.
Yes.
We need to go around.
But she's been sworn to secrecy as well. She's better at keeping secrets than I am. So she will not be telling you guys. Because I don't believe that you guys could keep a secret. So,
well, I can keep a secret. You know that.
I could.
Stacey.
Look, what level of secret are we talking?
I mean, I think
secret.
Jake, you have to sign an NDA, right?
Yeah, you have to keep the secret for like months.
And I can't use it as social capital.
No.
Okay, well then don't tell me. Growing
up. Bet on the outcome of American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, I'm going to use it like insider trading. Just tell people, like, you think he makes it past the third object? What do you think? You think he does?
Yeah, what do the sharks say?
Best April Fool's joke played on you guys yesterday. I didn't have one played on me.
Engineer Steve,
yeah,
he got you good.
Yeah, he
did. Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He
I forgot about that.
He definitely got me good.
What was it that he said?
He said something like, we were off air for like the first segment of the show. And you're like, we were? And he's like, nah, April Fools.
Yeah, it was very effortless.
And Stacey really got you. Brooke, she tried to hype it up like she had no April Fools tricks up her sleeve. And she lied. So, you know, she tried a couple different things, but the one that actually got me was I had to get the hair dryer to, you know, dry my hair, and went to go turn it on, baby powder all over my hair.
That's a good one.
Hair.
A classic.
Yeah, that was a good one to start my morning
Someone
off.
Someone wants to know what your favorite restaurant was in Lawrence.
Favorite restaurant?
Kansas.
Ooh, that is such a good question because there's so much good food.
I would imagine
in
there's
Lawrence, Kansas,
ton of good food.
Well, and
Kansas.
It's a college town. It's more of like the bar scene. So like the food in general, it was so good. Let's see, Jefferson's was definitely one of my favorites. I know I'm gonna forget a place or two that's gonna hurt me. Quinton's, I really liked their food. Let's see. I would say Jefferson's was definitely my favorite place down there on Mass Street. But there are so many good food places. I recommend going to all of them. They are all legit.
Someone else wants to... Oh, first of all, props. I don't know if it was you or Brooke's idea, but someone said, I did the frozen cereal for both kids. Hilarious.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm talking to a texter live, so text me as fast as you can. But were they extremely frustrated when you did the trick on them? Because Jackson just got more and more upset that he could not get the cereal. It's so funny.
Can I shout out a favorite Easter candy right now? Because I am so excited. One of my favorite holidays, because it's all about eating the minute you wake up and eating a ton of sweet foods. Guys, Cadbury eggs are made with a special magical chocolate that I cannot explain, but it is better than any other candy that exists on planet Earth. I'll say it with my
chest. You would have that opinion.
Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with them? They're delicious, Curtis. Are you serious
Reese's
right now?
Pieces. You have Reese's eggs with the Reese's pieces inside of
it. Well, I would obviously have that. I guess specifically Easter candy, but Cadbury chocolates are phenomenal.
Before we go.
Yes.
Yay or nay on Peeps, and I'm going to judge you based
nay.
On your
I'll
answer.
Say nay,
nay
on Peeps.
Nay.
Chocolate-covered Peeps?
I'm still judging you.
Man.
Yay. I'll say it.
Still judging
I'm okay with that. All right.
As a kid, I used to eat those things like it was nothing. Now, it just... Oh, I couldn't even imagine.
We want everyone to have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourselves. But don't go anywhere because Sports Talk's going to continue next. It'll do it for us. He's Curtis Rogers, Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. Wyman and Bob is next on 710 ESPN Seattle.